to look for Christ in it. His hand is everywhere. And his presence is always with us if we just ask him to be with us. Sometimes we don't even need to ask him, and he, just out of pure love for us, he is there. So just kind of our cry in response to that is just to say, hallelujah, you are God. All the poor.
Poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, and all the thieves will come confess, and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy. With nothing left, we'll know that you are holy, and all will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah, and all will sing out hallelujah. Go on and tell it to the masses that he is God.
Sing that again.
Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains.
Teach you guys a new song here. The chorus should be pretty familiar. It kind of comes from Amazing Grace, and Yeah, I guess I don't have really much of a backstory for it, but it's fairly easy song. Hopefully, guys, you catch on. Again, you can see it now.
can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to
the same, a light least of these. And soon everything is new. Everything is new.
Seated.
Kids may be dismissed to go to children's church. The rest of us, would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians? We will continue this morning our brand new look at this epistle of Paul, letter that he wrote to the people of Galatia. Before we do that, though, would you join me, rather, as we pray. Lord Jesus, you are our King. You are the radiance of God made manifest, who came and dwelt among us to equip us, to save us, to redeem us and transform us into creatures, Lord, that no longer reflect death, but that reflect glory and power. And so, Lord, today we ask that you would come into this place, not in the humdrum way, well, never is humdrum. Lord, I ask today that you blow up our expectations, that you would come and meet us and touch us in such a way that we cannot help but feel it and be changed. Lord, please smooth my wrinkles this morning. You put them there, and you know they're there. So please, Lord, speak your words through me today. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. This morning, we're just going to bite off about 5 more verses of this first chapter of Galatians and dig a little bit deeper. That's a little bit of a puzzle message today. And I'll explain a little bit more after a bit. But let's read verses 6 through 10. Here of Galatians chapter 1, he says this, Paul says, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I love the Apostle Paul. I like guys in the Bible that are so human. And Paul is very human. And in fact, it's kind of an interesting thing. So Paul wrote, 14 epistles. He wrote 14 of the books of the Bible. Okay? 14 of them are letters that he wrote to various peoples, whether they be individuals or groups of people or whatever. And generally speaking, Paul, when he's writing these letters, follows a general format. You know, we kind of joked a little bit about it last week. I, Paul, apostle, you know, all this stuff's like who it is, who it's from, who it is that it's to. Then he gives them a little bit of a blessing, you know, grace and peace to you from God our Father. You know, you've heard it many times. Then generally what Paul does is he goes into this section of giving God thanks for the people that he's writing to and blessing and thanking God and different things like that. There's only 3 of them that he doesn't. And this is one of those 3. So instead of going into some flowery thanking God and some eloquent speech to kind of encourage and build up the people that he's writing to, what does he say in Galatians? He says, I am astonished that you have so quickly become turncoats, that you've so quickly betrayed the gospel that we preach to you. He goes straight down, straight to it. There are some biblical commentators who have said, or I guess sort of speculated that Paul didn't take the time to think this one out like he did the other ones. That he heard of what was going on in Galatia, and he sat down and started writing. Almost like, you ever think before you speak? You ever speak before you think? Yeah? You ever talk before you think it out? And said the right thing, but maybe in the wrong way? Well, I'm not saying Paul said this in the wrong way. This is, I believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, but certainly he's blunt, and he gets to the point. A blistering rebuke. He's hot. Paul's hot. He's upset. It's interesting to me that the word, you know, I kind of mentioned this before, but the word deserting is actually used to describe traitors. It was a common word used to describe, like, treachery. And it's not so, Paul is not so mad at the people, the common, like, you and me type of people, as he is with the people that have come in and distorted, for their gain, have distorted the pure gospel of the saving power of Christ and Christ alone. They've come in and added things to re-imprison those whom Christ had set free. He says there are some who trouble you and distort the gospel of Christ. For me, here's why I said earlier that this is a little bit of a mysterious thing to talk about today. We're going to be, all through the book. The book is about the pure gospel versus these adulterations of it. The pure gospel of Jesus and its pure power versus this other, what he calls another gospel, which is no gospel at all. There is no other gospel. But today, I felt like I didn't want to, you know, read to you the next several chapters. So I said, let's stop here and let's examine this. Okay, I think there's something that we need to establish as Christ's church. We mentioned briefly at Bible study this week a quote that I randomly heard from some thinker, speaker, author. I don't even know who he was, but he said this. It was kind of a blunt call on the carpet for God's people. He said, you need to stop all this baloney about asking, who am I? He said, instead, you need to be asking, where am I trying to go and what do I have to work with? It's kind of a blunt charge, isn't it? Because that's we kind of do that in life. Who am I? Who has God made me? You know who you are. You are a child of the King. You are a regenerated, resurrected image bearer of the Almighty God. That's who you are. Now, where are we trying to go? And what do we have to work with? So we know who we are. What is this gospel? What is the pure gospel? Have you ever thought about that? We read a lot of Paul's letters, a lot of the epistles, this New Testament stuff that is just that real good basic teaching is all about kind of how we change our behavior, how to act, how not to act. It's good stuff, right? It's good stuff. It's good for us to want to reflect God in our relationships and in our actions and our thoughts, our feelings and our motivations. But has somebody ever said this is the pure gospel? I kind of maybe alluded to it last week. This is the pure gospel. It's found in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, among other places. I'm going to just read Ephesians 2. You can turn there if you want to. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, it says this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is a powerful word, church. And we must keep our elbows out to guard that. You know what I mean by keep our elbows out? If we hold something precious, keep those elbows out. Protect it. Don't let anything inside of that. You were dead. You were dead. Like an animal. Like an animal. Following the desires of your flesh and your baser instincts. That's a low-down thing. Coyote came on my place this week. I killed it. It was an animal. Following its baser instincts. Stay alive. Kill or be killed. Fill my belly. And to heck with anything else. We, church, were like animals. Careening headlong, full speed, toward the damnation that we deserve. That was our state. But God, all by himself, had mercy on you and on me because he loves us. That's why, because he loves us. He became flesh. The Word that was God, that was with God. The Word that by which all things were made, that power became flesh. Came here to take your punishment and mine. To take our death. To take our damnation. Took it on himself. He didn't stay dead. He rose. You know what that means? If our deeds, our ill deeds, and our deserved punishment for those things, and everything that we were was taken into him, and he was dead and judged, and he came back to life, guess what that means? If our life is in him and he's alive, we're alive. He made you and me alive again. Touched us, cleaned us, raised us up from death and gave us worth and home and family and power. Gave you a new nature and a new name. And he did it, church, without your help. Without my help. All by himself. And do you know why? So that we couldn't take credit for it. And the only one response that we can... There's only one response that's proper. Only one response that's proper to the work that Jesus, God, did for us, and that is a life of worship. That is to lay it all down, every bit of it, and say, Lord, you are all. I am nothing. Have me. Do what you want with me. Take it all. To worship and serve him is the only one proper response to being plucked from disaster. That is the pure gospel. You know, I don't labor over this because how is it then that we as his people are, you know, how, okay, one response, right? A life of worship. Okay, but what do we do, right? Anybody else think that? We want to do, don't we? We want to somehow write it down so that, so what does a life of worship look like? I'm sure that you can find 1,000 preachers across the U.S. that'll give you hours upon hours of talk about what it means to live a life of worship. That's what the scriptures are kind of about, how to live this life of worship. But for us today, church, I think what we need to do, and not just today, but on, today and on, is just to strip back everything. Strip it. David, you know the story, he did strip it. To illustrate this point that God is all and that he is nothing and he took his clothes off, danced around, said, I'll become even more undignified than this. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. I wasn't even tempted to do that. But it feels like there ought to be something that we do in response. Just to soak in that truth. To just soak in it. Wow. The hymns do it well, don't they? There's that one, you know it. I mean, most of us know the hymns, right? There's that one that Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Kind of brings that song to mind. What can we say? Part of me wants to just leave it there. Just soak in that this week. But I'm not going to leave it there. I want you to soak in it. Just soak in that truth. Get quiet, shut off the TV, shut off the music, shut off the everything, and just sit with God and just contemplate that thought. Jesus, who he is, what he did for us. But we don't like to leave things. That is a good thing, church. That is a good, salvation that Christ gives us is a good thing, yeah? But we can't leave good alone as people. Notice that, okay, back to Galatians. Notice that Paul wasn't surprised that they turned. He was only surprised how quickly. Or at least that's what he says. You know, you can always play the game. You've heard the expression, and forgive me if it's offensive. You've heard the expression, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, then every day would be Christmas. You ever hear that one? It's a dumb saying. But we always do that, don't we? If only, you know. If only we were just a simpler people. If only we would just had simpler minds and we could just let God be God and wouldn't life be easy if we just totally let him just, if we were simple. I think of my friend Luke. When Tony and I were in the mission school in New Zealand, we were organizing and creating a street performance. We were gonna go share the gospel through a drama, like a story about a princess and a prince and this evil warlord that steals the princess and all these things. And it was one, it was really fun to write. That was a fun time. We sat around on the beach and it was writing this thing. Anyway, it was warm. So actually Tony and I and my friend Nate, I think, were the ones that wrote the script, but we kind of pitched over the choreography and the music to these other people. Well, one of the musicians, I'm telling the story as I know it, so if somebody listens to this later and correct, I'm totally willing to be wrong. But anyway, one of those that was organizing the music for this little play, his name was Luke. Luke was from England. So he had, naturally, we good Americans, like, we think it's funny the way English people talk anyway. Right? Right? Come on. A little bit. Okay. It's funny the way they talk anyway. Like the Roger Miller song, try to mock the way they talk, fun but all in vain. Right? We can't do it. But anyway. So Luke, he's doing this music and we're trying to make the music, you know, illustrate the story. And Luke kept saying the same thing over and over and over again. Perhaps if it were a bit more tribal. Perhaps if it were a bit more tribal. And we've said that since then, like, 12 years now we've been, that's a saying in our house, perhaps if it was a bit more tribal. But, you know, hey, when we're talking about the way that we view and interact with an idea of God, sometimes I wish we were just more tribal. Sort of lived low and just saw, you know, anything that even hinted of God made us just fall on our faces, right? Like they do. See something unusual? Submit to it. It's the gods or whatever, you know? You understand what I'm saying? They lived so connected to the supernatural, but we have a complicated life. Perhaps if we were just a bit more tribal. We live by the philosophy, if a little is good, then more must be better. So we add things to life, and we've done this with the message of Christ. Tony is a perfect illustration for this. We have this, and she shared it Thursday, but I'll share it with all of you. We have a good chocolate chip cookie recipe. It's a good recipe. Makes awesome chocolate chip cookies. But you know, chocolate chips are great, but why not add some walnuts? Chocolate chips and walnuts are great, but why not add some oats? Chocolate chips and walnuts and oats are great, but why not add some Rice Krispies in there just to give a little crunch? Those things are all great, but why not add, you see what I'm getting at? And you add and you add and you add and you add, and then one time she went to make the cookies and she took the she got them all mixed up, took the cookie scooper and scooped it onto the baking tray and it just kind of like fell apart. And I was standing there and I always know the perfect witty thing to say when things like this happen. I said, "That's not cookies anymore, that's granola." But you see, church, Christ is good. We add ceremony to Christ. We add ritual to Christ. We add habits to Christ. We add the law to Christ. We add rules and regulations and this is proper and this is not proper and blah, 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 blah. And you know what we have before we know it? Something that is not Christ at all. It has nothing like it. And it's easy. It's our nature to do it. So we have to keep our elbows up with everything that we do. Even the things, you know, I was telling Tony this morning, I said, I just want to come to church in my work clothes and we'll just take the pulpit out and we just want to strip everything down. No, these things are not bad that we do. We want excellence. We want order in worship, but we must understand, church, that our value, our redemption, everything that's good about what happens here is only for one reason, and that reason is a person, and his name is Jesus. If not for that, this is all beyond stupid. Last week we said, "Be thou my vision." Keeping Christ as the central focus. When we look side to side, I'm worshiping the Lord. What is he doing? What's she doing? When we start doing that, we begin to compare, we judge. Bad things happen. I don't know. Stories and pictures, they go on and on and on because there are so many ways to illustrate this. But I guess I'll give you one more. We're like prisoners in a cell sometimes. And our cell's made out of concrete, and there's an iron bar, and we can't get out of the iron bar. This cell is our sin. And deeds, you know. Well, how do I get out of this? Well, be a good person. Do good things. Doing good things would be like taking your fingernails and scratching against the concrete. And so we go to work. They say, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to earn my way out of this cell. And Jesus comes and he says, gets the key out, open, the cell's open. And we say, "Oh, praise Jesus, my cell is open. Now I can really get out." And we just go start getting back. We just keep right back at it. We think that by what we do, we can earn credit with God. We can't. He's opened the cage. We have to get out of it and do the good things that he's created in advance for us to do. Become. Important thing for us, church, and I'll try to wrap it up. When Jesus by the sea saw the first disciples and he said, "Follow me." Do you realize the significance of that? When Jesus included people, okay, this is not just for guys, when he included the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve in this redemptive work, he does all the work, but he says, "Come along, do my work with me. Come on, do my work with me." He says also, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He came and did the lifting, church, but through us, he also wants to do. We call ourselves Christians, little Christs. That is important. We can't do that if we just stay in the cage and try to dig out. We got to come out. We have to become. We are all terrified. Man, we are all terrified of becoming who he's made us to be. You know that? That is exactly the burden of obedience, is that we are all terrified of the thing that he's asked to do. I believe that. I am terrified to be a pastor. I know he wants me to be one. I don't think I'm good at it. There's some days it's hard work. And not hard in like lifting. I can lift stuff. I would sometimes rather lift stuff. I don't begrudge it. Don't get me wrong. But it's hard. But only in obedience can we become all of what he's made a way for us to be. Do you get me? He's made you, all of you, individually. He's created good works for you to do that will blow your mind. Far beyond anything you could ask or seek or think. It's that scary. It's that big. It's true. For all of us. We got to get out of the cage and do it, though. Not just say thanks, Jesus, and sit back where we're comfortable. We've got to go for it. A life of worship is one that looks like Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Doing all things as if we're doing them for Christ who saves us. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Yeah. Yeah. Two things, church, before we celebrate communion this morning. Two things. One, I want to challenge you to do two things this week. First off, ask yourself, what have I added to the gospel? What have I added? When I set the expectations for my life, these are the things that I should do, these are the things that make me a Christian, make people a Christian, whatever. Have you added anything to the gospel? Have we as a church, have we added anything to the gospel? Do we put so much weight on one thing that it takes away from who Jesus is? It's possible. Just ask yourself that question. Think about it. Ponder it. And two, the second one. I charge you, church, to spend some time, and it is time well spent, simply meditating, thinking about how complete Christ is, his adequacy to do all that he does for us. Think about it. Praise him from the depths of your soul. It's a spiritual act. We are spiritual beings. We need to be spiritual. It's not hokey pokey. It's not black magic, folks. We are spiritual beings with souls, and we can praise him from the bottom of our souls. Lift them to him. Offer all that we have to him. It says in Hebrews, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature, and that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Think about that. Meditate on that. Lift your soul to that God this week. You will be surprised at what he may do in you when you do that. We say it every week, right? According to the power that is at work within us. We're going to celebrate communion now. The elders that are going to do that can come on up. I want to encourage you